Well, today is a very, very special day in the lives of Emerson and Ivy Wu. It's a very special day in the life of Carl Road Baptist Church. We have the joy of commissioning Emerson and Ivy as missionaries. And we have the privilege of sending the Wus to Macau, China, to share the good news about Jesus. And with that in mind, I wanted to ask all of you a question today. Who was the very first missionary? Now, this may be worth an answer on a trivia contest sometime for you, so stay tuned. Who was the very first missionary? Was it Adoniram Judson? He was indeed, he and his wife Anne were indeed the first Protestant missionaries from the United States. They arrived in Calcutta, India in 1812 and then moved to Burma, now the country of Myanmar, in 1813. No, they were not the first missionaries. How about Robert Morrison? Was he the first missionary? He was the first Protestant missionary to China, arriving in, of all places, Macau in 1807. No, it wasn't Robert Morrison. Well, how about William Carey? Was he the very first missionary? He is sometimes referred to as the father of modern missions. He arrived in Calcutta, India in 1793. No, it wasn't William Carey. Well, let's really back this up. Let's go 1,400 years backwards. Maybe it was Patrick. He was the one that brought the gospel to the country of Ireland in the year 432. Maybe it was Patrick. No. Well, the Apostle Paul, maybe he was the very first missionary. We've already heard John read portions of Acts 13 that tell us that Paul and Barnabas were sent out by the church at Antioch on their first missionary journey into what is now the country of Turkey. It was the year 46, pretty early. Even Paul was not the first missionary. Perhaps it is Philip. Philip. In Acts chapter 8, maybe just a year after Jesus' resurrection, 34 AD, something like that, he led an Ethiopian to put his faith in Jesus. Well, I have deliberately skipped through hundreds of years of the history of Christian missions to make a point. None of these men and women, as wonderful and as dedicated as they might have been, can claim the title of being the very first missionary. That's because the very first missionary is not a human being at all. The very first missionary is none other than God Himself. A story in Acts 11 highlights this truth. Jesus had ascended back into heaven. The Holy Spirit had arrived. The church had been established. All the first believers were ethnic Jews. And one of the key leaders was Peter, one of Jesus's disciples. And a chapter earlier in Acts 10, we're introduced to Cornelius, a Roman soldier who was being drawn to God by the Holy Spirit. And at this time, few of the first Christians understood, if any, that this message about Jesus was intended for everybody on the planet. And Peter had this vision from God that challenged him, challenged his own deep, inbred attitude of exclusion towards people of other races. And so Peter ends up at Cornelius's home, shared the message of Jesus with him. And Cornelius received Jesus as Savior and Lord then and there. It's very evident that Peter realized that he now had a new brother in Christ who wasn't Jewish. Well, let's pick up the story from there, if you would. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 11, just a couple of chapters before what John was reading for us today, Acts chapter 11. I want to read just the first 18 verses of that chapter. And this is what happened after Peter and Cornelius met, and Peter led Cornelius to a knowledge and a faith in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 11, verse 1. The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers, that would be Jewish people who now believed in Jesus, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by the four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' And I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. The six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So, if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." God has a mission. Now, those first Christians should have known better. Peter should have known better. After all, they were Jewish. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. Through Isaiah the prophet, God had said 700 to 800 years earlier, "You will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you will bring salvation to the ends of the earth." A missionary is someone who is sent. A missionary is someone who goes from one place to another place to help bring people into a relationship with God. And it's fascinating to realize that God was and is the very first missionary. After all, God sent himself. God sent himself. Yes, God is loving, he is gracious, he is holy, just, merciful, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, all those attributes that we may have learned over the years. He is also and always a missionary. Mission is an essential part of God's character. And mission means sending, and that's really the central theme of the whole Bible. God's mission began with this call to Israel to receive God's blessings so that they might be a blessing to all the other nations and people groups of the earth. And then God's mission reached this wonderful climax in the person of Jesus. Through his life and his miracles and his teaching, his death on the cross, his resurrection, in Jesus, God sent himself. In Jesus, God is revealed as a missionary. God is literally with us in the person of Jesus Christ. How does that most well-known verse in the Bible of all put it? "For God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." What does that word "gave" mean there? Well, the next verse, verse 17, makes it clear. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. So gave and sent mean the same thing. And because God is a missionary, he sent himself. Now, did Jesus know that he was sent from God? Oh, yes, absolutely. Here's just a smattering of verses that indicate how clearly Jesus understood that he was sent. Jesus said, "My message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. If you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it." And so in Jesus, God literally and fully sent himself. Well, how long does God have to be a missionary? Well, God's mission is going to continue until the creation of the new heaven and the new earth. This mission from God is his from first to last. God owns this mission. God takes full responsibility for it. God ensures its fulfillment. As the very first missionary, then, God sends himself. God also does something else. God sends his church. God sends his church. Now, you remember what Jesus said to the disciples, right? And maybe the second most well-known verses in the Bible. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And again, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." And so when the Holy Spirit arrived on the day of Pentecost, God sent himself now in a different way. Through the Holy Spirit, the church was created and empowered to continue God's mission of spreading the good news about Jesus. And so every local church is his instrument for that mission. God sends his church. And God's mission continues today in and through the worldwide witness of local churches in every culture to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God relentlessly advances his mission in a variety of ways. And the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And as a church, we get to be a part of this. You know, our congregation has increasingly sensed God's call to go to be sent into the Northland community around us and to make disciples. And we are both working at that at present and seeking to discern new ways to do that in the future. And what we're doing today is just as much a part of God's plan and God's mission. You see, no church has to choose between what used to be called home missions and foreign missions. We don't have to choose between being a missionary and being sent into our community and being sent as missionaries overseas. Because both are integral to God's mission. Because God's heart is as big. No. It's much bigger than the entire world. Today, we're sending two of our own, Emerson and Ivy, to share Jesus with other people in another part of this world. And we have the joy of supporting them with our love and our prayers and our financial gifts. Make no mistake, members and friends of Carl Road Baptist Church, God is sending this church to Macau, China, through Emerson and Ivy Woo. Well, let's take it one step further. As the first missionary, God sends himself, God sends his church, and God sends you and me. The wonderful truth is that God calls and he sends personally and he sends individually. The Bible says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. So, we are Christ's ambassadors. In other words, when God calls anyone to become a follower of Jesus, he also sends that person. And Emerson and Ivy are just marvelous examples of this truth for me. They immigrated to this country with no knowledge of Jesus at the time. Emerson came from a Taoist background, Ivy from a Buddhist background. But God brought them here, called them into a relationship with his son Jesus. Years of discipleship and preparation followed. And now God is sending them back to the part of the world from where they came to be a part of God's mission. How wonderful that is. To be called by God is to be sent by God. You know, have you ever asked the question, what is the real mark of a follower of Jesus? How do you know someone is born again? How do you know if someone is truly a Christian, child of God? You know, I'm more and more convinced that it has a lot to do with personally owning the fact that you are called by God and sent by God. My friend, if you have no real interest in the mission of God, you know, Christianity is just about, it's just about kind of making it through, getting to heaven when you die so you can walk the streets of gold. If that's the Christian faith for you, you need to question whether you really understand what it means to be a child of God. Being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, it's not about having your doctrine correct or having an encyclopedic knowledge of the Bible or just settling for being a good moral person or even just coming to church regularly. It's an acknowledgement that you are called to be something and to do something, and a willingness to be sent. So where is God sending you? Where is God sending you? Do you know? Is he sending you perhaps back into your own family where there are many who don't know the Lord personally? Is God sending you into your school? Is God sending you into your place of work? Is God sending you into your neighborhood? Here's the question. Where has God called and sent you as his missionary? Robert Louis Stevenson, the great renowned author, was a boy of about 6 or 7. And he was one night just fascinated watching a lamplighter go down his street and manually light the street lamps. This was before the day of electricity, and so all this had to be done manually. And he was just fascinated watching this man light lamp after lamp after lamp. Well, he was being tended at the time by his nanny, and those you parents and those of you who take care of kids, you know that when a kid gets quiet for a while, it's usually not a really good thing. So his nanny was getting a little concerned because she hadn't heard anything out of Robert for a while. And so she called and she said, where are you? What are you doing? And young Stevenson called back to her and said, I'm watching a man punch holes in the darkness. That's a pretty good description of the Christian life. God is a missionary God, and he sent Jesus, who is and was and will always be the light of the world, yes? And Jesus punched a hole in the darkness of this world that nobody is ever going to be able to close. And he invites Emerson and Ivy and you and me and all of his children to be about the task of punching holes in the darkness of this world so that people can see God and discover how to have an eternal relationship with him. Emerson and Ivy, you're a great blessing to us. But you're a challenge to us also in a very good way. You're a challenge to us in a very good way. Because every follower of Jesus in this room is called to be a missionary. You might be the only two people in this room called to go to Macau, China. But every follower of Jesus in this room today is called to be a missionary.
That's right.
Where has God called you? Amen.